Today's shir is Dav Zayin, and we're going to begin on Dav Zayin Amud Aleph, about 7 lines from the top, Mikom Makom Kasha. Just to quickly review, yesterday we learned a braisa that we paskin like Beis Hillel, and the Gemara said it depends if it's before the baskel, after the baskel. Then the Gemara said that wherever you have 2 Tanoim and 2 Amoraim arguing, like you had the Machlokes Beis Sham and Beis Hillel, don't choose one person's kulas and one person's chumras. Just you have to follow a person lekula all the time or lechumra all the time. And the question that comes up as soon as you learn this Gemara is that we have a klal that we've encountered many times throughout Shas, Safek d'Raisa lechumra, Safek d'Rabbanan lekula. So we do look at each case individually. And here the Gemara is saying that you always follow one manda amr. So let's put that on the side and let's go further. Mikamakam kasha. So now we have a kasha. In the braisa, that in the story that we learned yesterday about the mavui in the Hadar, we weren't being consistent neither with Rav nor with Shmuel. We were picking Rav's chumra and Shmuel's chumra. Amr Rav Nachman Yitzchak. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, "Kula k'rav avdua." They really acted strictly like Rav Paskin. Dom Rav Huna Marav Halacha. Even though Rav Paskin's like the Tankama, that there's no need to make a door on a Mavi Mefulish. It's enough just to make a Tzurus HaPesach. Halacha, that may be the Halacha Vei Moirin came, but we don't publicize it. What's the right thing to do? The right thing to do is put up a door. So now they went strictly with Rav. They treated it like a Mavi Mefulish, which is Rav's Psak. And they also put up a door because even Rav agrees that's the right thing to do. Ask the Gemara, or of Adbar Hava or Merav, Dama Halacha Moirikain, that not only the Rav say that a Tzuras HaPesach is enough on a Mavim Mefulish. That's what we should publicize. So we're back to where we started. Mayak Lameimer, why was it enough? Why did they put up a Tzuras HaPesach? Why did they put up a door? Why did they put up a door? Tzuras HaPesach is enough. Michael Amema answers the Gemara, Omrav Shizbi, Kiloy Avdin Kachurmi de Beitrei, where don't we follow the two chumras, Hechid the Sasra Adadi? In a case where the two chumras contradict each other. But if they don't contradict each other, even though they represent other shitas, we could go with two chumras. So now we just changed what we learned. Till now we learned that you have to follow one Paisik consistently. Now the Gemara is saying you don't have to follow one Paisik consistently. You could follow different Paiskim as long as the two Piske Halacha you follow don't contradict each other. And the Gemara gives an example when they do contradict each other. Because in most situations, they won't contradict each other. That means if you follow Paisik 1 regarding a Shaila and Hilchus Shabbos, and you follow Paisik 2 regarding a Shaila and Hilchus Kashrus, that's not a contradiction. What's going to be a situation of a contradiction? So Gemara gives example of Shidr v'Kegoylus. Shidr means the spine, Kegoylus means the skull. We know that any part of a mess is metamba b'magav b'masa, if you touch it or you're carrying it. Tumas oil already has different halachas. You have to have either the whole mess in the same room or a significant part of it. What's considered a significant part? A skull, a spine. The Tanan, there's a Mishnah Masechta Chulin that a shidr v'gagol shechasru. If part of the spine is missing, part of the skull is missing, then it's not metame ba'oil anymore. Ask the Mishnah v'kamichsaron how much has to be missing that it should be considered missing. V'kamichsaron b'shedra in the spine. So b'shamayim shtei cholyus. B'shamayim says 2 vertebrae. B'shamayim cholyachas. So right now, all of us would assume that b'shamayim is a machmer. He says until 2 vertebrae are missing, it's still metame ba'oil. Similarly, b'gagoylus. What about in the skull? B'shamar mikamoli magdech decides to drill a hole with a drill. Or b'selo oimrim k'deishi notel menachay v'yomis. Amount that were taken out from a human being from his skull and he wouldn't survive. Which again, b'shamar is a larger amount than b'selo. B'selo they say it's the size of a seller, which is their coin. So here we have b'shamar is a machmer and b'selo is a makel. V'amar v'yudam shmul v'kein lin yitreifa. The same shaila you have regarding the oil, you'll have the same shaila as a treifa. What is a treifa? A treifa is an animal that can't survive, that is automatically not kosher. Here, Beis Hillel is a machmer. He's saying as soon as one vertebrae is missing, it's considered a treifa. He says as soon as it has a small hole, it's already considered a treifa because it has that small head in the skull. So that's what we're saying. Since they're size to each other, you can't follow Beis Shammai by treifa and follow Beis Hillel by oil, because then you're picking all the kulis. You can't do it the other way, because then you're picking all the chumras. There's a very fundamental shaila. We know, Masechta Chulin, the Gemara says, what is the definition of a treifa? Somebody who can't survive, whether it's by a human or by an animal. So the Mefarshim ask, how could they be arguing over Metzias? They're arguing how much of a hole is a treifa, a small hole or a big hole. It's a medical fact that they're arguing over. How could they argue over a medical fact? So Mefarshim answer that everybody agrees that the hole is the size of Beis Shammai's hole. It has to be a larger hole for the person not to be able to survive, for the animal not to survive. Just Beis Hillel says that even when the animal has a small hole, we're certain it's going to deteriorate into a larger hole. And since we're certain it's going to deteriorate into a larger hole, we already consider him a treifa, even though he doesn't quite yet have that size hole. Ask the Gemara, v'heched esasri hadadi lo yavdinan, is that true, that when the two piskei halacha don't contradict each other, we can't do both? Masam Ram Sharshim. But before we say this, let's say an introduction. We know that the Jewish agricultural calendar is a cycle of 7 years. The first 2 years, truma you have to give every year. The first 2 years you give Maisa Rishon and Maisa Sheni. The third year is Maisa Rishon and Maisa Oni, no Maisa Sheni. Fourth, fifth year is Maisa Rishon and Maisa Sheni. Sixth year again is Maisa Rishon and Maisa Oni. Seventh year is Shemitah, there's no Matanis. What is the date to count the year? Rosh Hashanah. That's by vegetables, that's by tvua, by grain. Fruit has a different date. The date for fruit is Machloikis Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says the date for fruit is Rosh Chodesh Shvat, and Beis Hillel says the date for fruit is Tu B'Shvat, 15 days in Shvat. And Esrog has a very unique halacha. What is the date? You know, let's say the date is Tu B'Shvat. What is the fruit? How do I identify what year it is? The fruit has to be formed to a certain level of maturity. We're not going to go into that, what that exactly is. Esrog is an exception to all fruits. And Esrog, we follow the day of Likitosai, the date it's collected. So now we have an issue. Let's say you're going to collect a fruit between the first day and the 15th day of Shvat and going into the third year. So according to Beis Shammai, it's considered the third year, you have to give Maisa Ani. According to Beis Hillel, it's still the second year until Tu B'Shvat, and you have to give Maisa Sheni. Says the Gemara, Maisa Berbekiva, Shalikat Esrig Bech B'Shvat, he collected an Esrig on first day in Shvat, for Nogboy Beis Asurin, and he took off Maisa Sheni and Maisa Ani. Echik Divrei Shammai, he took off Maisa Ani because he considered Rosh Chodesh Shvat already the third year, and there's a Chiv of Maisa Ani. Vechik Divrei Beis Hillel, and he took off Maisa Sheni because it wasn't yet the third year until Tu B'Shvat. So now we have a problem. Rabbi Kiva is doing two Piskei Halacha that contradict each other. And we just said that you can never do Piskei Halacha that contradict each other. So before we say the Gemara's Teretz, Tosfos makes a wonderful point. Tosfos says, besides the problem that the Gemara has, just the way Meiri explains Tosfos, it's a short Tosfos, but a beautiful Tosfos. Tosfos has a problem. It's not just that you did contradictory Piskei Halacha, what you do doesn't work. Why? Let's say there's a halacha. There's a Gemara Masechta the Kedushin, Daf Nun Aleph. The Gemara says that let's say I have to give 10 fruits as Maisa. And I go, I want to be generous. I give 20. So the Gemara says, the other 80 that you left over are fine. But the 20 you took, you have a problem because you have Maisa and Chulin mixed together. Because you have to take 10. The Torah told us 10, not 20. So now here he's taking 20. So it's not that he's just being frum, and he'll say, okay, so I only had to take 10, I'm being frum, I want to be safe. It's not just being safe. You have Meiser and Tevel mixed together. So how do you avoid that problem? So Tosfos says an ingenious Eitzah. Tosfos says he only took 10. What's the halacha of Meiser Sheni? The halacha of Meiser Sheni is that you could take the Meiser Sheni that you take off, either eat it in Yerushalayim, or redeem it, take the money to Yerushalayim, and spend it on food in Yerushalayim. That's what he did. He only took 10. 10 is the right number. He then went and redeemed it, the money he was going to take to Yerushalayim. The 10 that he was left with, the 10 esroigim that he was left with, instead of using it for himself, he went and he gave them to Anani. So he didn't have more than 10 taken off. He only took 10, but he ended up with those 10 are equal to 20. The Ritva says a different Eitzah. He could have taken 10, and when he got to Yerushalayim, instead of eating them himself, give it to a poor person in Yerushalayim. But the Gemara's question is, he did two piskei halacha that contradict each other. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva Gamri is topically. Rabbi Kiva had a suffix. He didn't know. He knew the halacha is like Beis Hillel. He was only going to follow Beis Hillel. But he didn't know what the Beis Hillel say. Did Beis Hillel hold that Rosh Chodesh Shvat is the date? Or the Beis Hillel say the 15th day. And that's why, that's why he did both chumras. Not because he was going to paskin both like Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. That's a contradiction. Before we leave the sugya, let's just review when we could do piskei halacha that following different paskim. So one thing the Gemara clearly says is when the two piskei halacha don't contradict each other, you could choose different rabbonim for different piskei halacha. That's really our case of the Mavi. You could pick Rav and Shmuel because they don't contradict each other. What about the rule of Safek Dereis L'Chumra? Do we always have to follow Safek Dereis L'Chumra? Do we always have to follow Safek Derabbanan L'Kula? So the Rajba and the Chazon Ish both say that if a person picks a Rav Muvik, that he always follows that Rav's Piskei Halacha, then the rule of Safek Dereis L'Chumra and Safek Derabbanan L'Kula doesn't apply. He follows that Rav, and even if it means going in a Kula by the Raisa, and even if it means going L'Chumra by the Rabbanan, so be it. He follows that Rav all the way through. Who does Safek Dereis L'Chumra and Safek Derabbanan L'Kula apply to? They apply to the people that don't pick one Rav that they're going to follow all the time. So since you're not following one specific person all the time, so there the halacha begins, Safek Dereis L'Chumra, Safek Derabbanan L'Kula. However, where the piskei halacha contradict each other, there you can't do that. So now, there's a gevaldig shaila. The Sharm Tzion Balacha asked the shaila. Many Jews, every Shabbos do it. Why? Because nobody's going to do Malacha on Friday afternoon after the Shkia. But if you hold like the Rabbeinu Tam, that means, as the world calls it, 72 minutes after Shkia, you're allowed to do Malacha way past the Shkia, because he holds that's the first Shkia. There's a second Shkia, which is much later. And according to him, you're allowed to do Malacha until the second Shkia. So people, every Friday, nobody does Malacha after the Shkia, but many people hold like the Rabbeinu Tam. So what are you going to answer? No problem. You could be machma. You want to make Shabbos earlier. Truthfully, you hold like the Rabbeinu Tam, but you want to make Shabbos a half an hour earlier. Twice the Shabbos. Fine. But what's going to be that person who holds like the Rabbeinu Tam, doesn't do Malacha Matzah Shabbos until 72 minutes after the Shkia, will have a baby Friday afternoon 20 minutes after the Shkia. Will he make a bris on Shabbos? He won't make a bris on Shabbos. Why? It's after the Shkia. But you're a Rabbeinu Tam person. And we just learned in the Gemara that you can't do two piskei halacha that contradict each other. So, the Sharm Tzion Balacha speaks about this, and he says that the answer you have to give is the same answer the Gemara gives in Rabbi Kiva. The person who's machmer not to do malacha after the Shkia, and is also machmer in Rabbeinu Tam and Matzah Shabbos, is because he's just not sure who the right Pesach is. It's not pshat that he wants to take both chumras. Taking both chumras that contradict each other is wrong, our Gemara says. Taking two chumras because I don't know who's right is not, and you don't have anybody that's great enough to say, I could tell you with clarity that this is the right halach, this is the right psak, is not called taking two chumras and is acceptable.
Why can't he do the reverse? He really holds the first gift. He just wants him out for himself when Shabbos.
Okay, but because then sometimes you could have coolest, you could have chumras the other way going with Rabbeinu Tam. One other shaila, what's going to be the halacha? Could happen. A person's in a place, and he has tefillin shel yad Rashi, and he has tefillin shel Rosh Rabbeinu Tam. Could he wear both tefillin at the same time? Because they're sides to each other. Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam are arguing. So the Paisk can say, and of course it's not, we're not talking lechatchila the situation. The Paisk can say he can, because the tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel Rosh are considered two separate mitzvahs. You only get, it's a problem contradicting each other in one mitzvah. But if they consider two separate mitzvahs, it's not a problem. We certainly hold those two mitzvahs because we make two separate brachas. The Ashkenaz. The same brachas, but Mikra didn't consider two mitzvahs. Continues the Gemara. We now go back to Masechta Erevin. So the picture that we're going to be referring to. Actually, we don't have to get to that picture yet. Yosrav Yosef Kameder of Hunav Yosef Kama. Amar Yudom Rav. Mechloikis, the case that we discussed yesterday with the Mavi Amun Fulish, is a case, Bistrachimikan, Uplachimikan, Uplachimikan. We have on the two sides of a Mavi a real Rishus Rabbim. Avastrachimikan, Ubikamikan. If on one side of the Rishus Rabbim, we have Rishus, of the Mavi, I'm sorry, we have Rishus Rabbim. And the other side we have a bikkur, which is only a karmelis, or bikkamikan or bikkamikan, or if on the two sides of the mavui we only have karmelisin, we don't have any rishus rabim. Everybody will agree that oisit tzuras apesach mikan. On one side, all you have to do is make a tzuras apesach, and on the other side, lechi mikayra mikan. You only have to make a lechi mikayra. The machlokes we had, if you have to make a door and a tzuras apesach is not enough, is only when a rishus rabim is on both sides. When a rishus rabim is not on both sides, certainly a tzuras apesach is enough. Ask the Gemara, Avi's Kasha. Hashta, if in the case of srachim mikan or bikam mikan, where one side you have a rishus rabim and the other side is a karmless, is the halacha oisloy tzuras apesach mikan v'lechi kari mikan? It's enough if you make one tzuras apesach and one lechi bikim mikan and bikim mikan. When you have on both sides just a karmelis b'boye, certainly it should be enough just to make a tzuras apesach and a lechi in kaira. Answers the Gemara Hachikam, and this is pshat. Srachim mikan or bikim mikan, when one side is a rishus rabim and one side is a karmelis, nasa, it has the same halacha like bikim mikan or bikim mikan, where both sides are karmelis, and the tzuras apesach and lechi yikayra will be adequate. So first of all, the Rajba asks, maybe the chiddush is that by bikim mikan and bikim mikan, maybe you wouldn't even have to make a tzuras apesach. Maybe the chiddush is that a lechi yikayra would be enough. Why doesn't the Gemara say that? He leaves it with a kasha. Now the Sfas Emes says a beautiful vart. The Sfas Emes asks, the Gemara is saying that Srach Yomikan or Bikim Mikan is equal to Bika and Bika. What does it mean it's equal? She says like this. When we have a Bika and a Bika, what are we saying the halach is? One side you have to make a Tzuras HaPesach, one side you have to make a Lechi Kaira. Does it make which a difference which side you make what? Of course not, because both sides are equal. When one side is a Rishus Rabim, a Sracha, and one side is a Karmelis, I would think, says the Sfas Emes, that on which side should I make the Tzuras HaPesach? On the Rishus Rabim side. And which side should I make the Lechi Kaira? On the Karmelis side, says the Gemara, that they're equal. Just like in the case of Bika and Bika, I could choose which side to make the Tzuras HaPesach and which side to make the Lechi Kaira. Similarly, when one side is a Sracha and the other side is a Bika, I could still choose to make the Tzuras HaPesach by the Bika and the Lechi Kaira by the Karmelis. That's the Chiddush of the Gemara. Now the next Gemara is a beautiful piece of Gemara. Just like I always say, you have to hold cup for it. And what we're going to do is that we're going to review the Gemara outside, and then we'll learn the Gemara inside, and it'll go very easy. The pictures that are relevant are pictures number 41 and 42. But before we look at any pictures, we have to say an introduction. The halacha is that if I have my backyard open to my neighbor's backyard. The halacha is I can carry to my neighbor's backyard. Let's say I don't want to carry to my neighbor's backyard. My neighbor doesn't want to carry to my backyard. I just want to carry mine and he wants to carry in his. If it's completely open between the 2 yards, the halacha is you can't carry even in your yard. If you don't make an eruv, which will allow you to carry from your yard to his and vice versa, then you can't even carry to your. Why? Because the halacha is that if your rishus is open to a rishus to which you can't carry, then you can't even carry in your own rishus. If your rishus is porous, is open to rishus to which you cannot carry, then you cannot even carry in your own rishus. Now the next thing I want to do is familiarize ourselves with two terms. One is called a rechava and one is called a chatzim. A chatz is what I just discussed. It's a yard. A rechava is a yard, is also a backyard, but a rechava was a backyard that was not used. So let's say, simple case, if my yard, my chatzer, is open to my friend's rechava, am I allowed to carry in my yard even though I didn't make an eruv? The halacha is I'm allowed to carry in my yard because it's not open to rishus that he carries in, because rechava is a place that they didn't use, and therefore his rishus doesn't ask for my rishus. Now we have picture 41. Let's work from our banim all the way up. First we have a mavi. The mavi opens up to a rechava, not to a chatzar, and that rechava opens up to a rishus rabbin, those white lines on top. There are two possible problems. One is it considered a mavi or mafulish? That the mavi is considered mafulish to rishus rabbin through the rechava. And the other issue is, even without the issue of it being mafulish, is there concern that since it's open to the rechava should prohibit me to carrying the mavi? Says the Gemara. This is how we begin the Gemara. Another halacha Rabbi Yosef said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, Im hoya mavi kol l'rechava, if the mavi that we just discussed enters into rechava, which enters into rishus rabim, ain't tzar klum. There's no need to make anything. It's not considered a mavi mafulish. Why not? So number one, obviously he considers it. He doesn't agree with the halacha that it's considered a mavi mefolish because it doesn't go directly to rishus rabbin. Number two, and this is a very important point, why did he choose a case of rechava? Why did Rabbi Yehuda choose a case of rechava? Like I said a moment ago, rechava wasn't what they usually had. They usually had chatzers, not rechavas. Obviously Rabbi Yehuda holds that had it opened up to a chatzer, what would be the halacha? If there was no area between the chatzer and the mavi, you could not carry from the mavi into the chatzer because the chatzer and the mavi aser each other. So he specifically chose a case of a rechava. Now, Rabbi Yehuda said this halacha. We know throughout Shas that Rabbi Yehuda had two rabbeim. He had a Rabbi Rav and he had a Rabbi Shmuel. This halacha that Rabbi Yehuda said, we don't know in whose name he said it. Did he say it in the name of Rav? Did he say it in the name of Shmuel? Amalei Abaye Rabbi Yosef. So Abaye makes a comment to Rabbi Yosef. Had Rabbi Yehuda, this statement Rabbi Yehuda made, the Shmuel he, must be Shmuel's statement. The Rav, because if you're going to attribute this statement Rabbi Yehuda is making to Rav, Kasha the Rav the Rabbatarti. I'm going to have two kashas. Dom Rav Yemri Bar Abba Marav, picture 42, Mavi Shenifritz V'Molay L'Chatzer, if the Mavi opens to a Chatzer, and now the Chatzer is open to the Rishus Rabbin behind it, Mavi Shenifritz V'Molay L'Chatzer V'Nifritz L'Chatzer K'negdoi, so the Loch is Chatzer Muteres a Mavi Aser. So what's the most unique aspect, what makes this statement that Rav made very different from the statement we learned from Rav Yehuda Ben Aleph? Because it's open to a chatzer, not open to Rechava. So obviously, what is he holding? He's holding that strictly because it's open to a chaser, that's why it's mutter. That's why it's mutter. That's why it's us to carry in the mavui. Why is it us to carry to the mavui? Because it's open to a chaser that asks it. And we said that if a mavui opens to a chaser, if there's no eriv, it's us to carry from one to the other. And it's obvious that he doesn't consider it a problem of Mami Mefulish, which Rabbi Yehuda did consider a problem of Mami Mefulish. So we have two problems, the Mefulish aspect and the Chatzar aspect. So if Rabbi Yehuda made a statement and specifically chose the case of a Mavui opening to a Rechava versus a Mavui opening to a Chatzar, it can't coordinate this Psak with Rav, because the fact that Rav chose to speak about a case of a Chatzar, you have two problems. Amalei, Anolo Yadana. He says, I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda said this halacha in the name of Shmuel. He can't say it in the name of Rav. However, of the Havda, I could tell you a story. Bedura Derusa, the same of a place, there was a Mavi Shekola L'Rechava. There was a Mavi that opened up. We go back to picture 41. Vos L'Kamei Rabbi Yehuda. And they went to Rabbi Yehuda. He said that this was fine. There's no need to make anything between the opening, between the Mavui and the Rechava. V'kasha Mishmei D'Rav. And if you're telling me that how could Rabbi Yehuda say this halacha in the name of Rav, if Rav just said differently, so says the Gemara to have Mishmei D'Shmuel. No problem. We'll say, as I said earlier, Rabbi Yehuda had two Rebbes, and this halacha he said in the name of his Rebbe Shmuel, not the name of his Rebbe Rav. Says the Gemara, but I have a way, says the Gemara, of working it out that even Rabbi Yehuda, that even Rav could agree. Because we explained that why is there a problem here? Because we're saying that the Chatzar and Mavui answer each other. They prohibit each other. Why do they prohibit each other? Because a chatzar is a place where people can carry, and a mavi is a place that people can carry. So if there's no mav, if there's no eriv constructed between the mavi and the chatzar, it must be because Rav holds that it's a mavi I'm a foolish. So that's not the case. The case was that Vamalele Rav Hashta Amalele Rav Sheshel Rav Shmuel Bar Abba Vamalele Rav Yosef Bar Abba. Asbarloch, I'll explain it to you. Kan she'irvu. Really, we're talking about that there was an eruv. If the Bnei Chatzar made an eruv with the people from the Mavi, then the people in the Mavi will be allowed to carry. Because this that Rav said, that you can't carry from the Mavi to the Rishus Rabim, is not because Rav holds that it's considered a Mavi or a foolish. Rav will agree that it's not considered a Mavi Mefulish, as Rabbi Yehuda has, that it's not a Mavi Mefulish. The only time Rav says it's a problem is because the Chatzar is there, and the Chatzar didn't have an Erev. So if the Chatzar has an Erev with the Mavi, so let's understand the Halacha. You'll be able to carry in the Chatzar, you'll be able to carry in the Mavi, and you'll be able to carry from the Mavi through the Chatzar into the Rishus Rabim, because it won't be a Mavi Mefulish. When there is no Erev made, so there is no problem of Mavi Mefulish. It's still not a Mavi Mefulish. What is the issue? The issue is that there's no Erev between the Chatzar and the Mavi, which is exactly the same as Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda also doesn't consider it a problem of Mavi Mefulish. Let's do the Gemara inside. Hashto Amalei Rav Sheshel Rav Shmuel Bar Abba V'Amalei Rav Yosef Bar Abba Asbaloch Kan She'irvu. There's a difference if there's an error between the Chatzar and the Mavui, or if there is no error between the Chatzar and the Mavui. The Rav, Namila Kasha. Kan She'irva. Rabbi Huda in Dura Derasa was talking in a case where they made an error. So since they made an error, you could carry, and since there's no problem, Mavui was foolish, so all my problems are solved. Kan, with the Gemara that we had on top of the Gemara, where he said you can't carry, wasn't because of a foolish problem. The problem was because of the fact that there was no Erev. Now, let's understand something. Two things to understand. Why isn't it Mefulish? something we're going to talk about more tomorrow. But let's try to understand it today. Why isn't it mefulish? If we look at these pictures, both are picture 41 and picture 42, so it's going all the way straight. So why isn't it mefulish? So the answer is, you have to look at the two walls that are open on the side by the chatzar. In the entrance between the mavi and the chatzar, there are two walls left on the right and on the left. These two walls serve to prevent it from being mefulish, provided the mefarshim say that the opening between the mavi and the chatzar is less than 10 amos. One more shaila. Let's say you didn't make an eruv between the mavi and the chatzar, and you want to be able to carry. What are you supposed to do? So Paiskim say you're supposed to make a tzuras ha-pesach. Taisva says this. You're supposed to make a tzuras ha-pesach by the opening between the mavi and the chatzar, and a lechi by the opening from the street to the chatzar. That will close off the chatzar entirely, and then you won't have any problem. And it'll accomplish even more, because there's another Rishus Rabbim here that we haven't spoken about. There's a Rishus Rabbim in the front of the Mavi. What's going to be the halacha in the Rishus Rabbim in the front of the Mavi? The Rishus Rabbim in the front of the Mavi, you'll be allowed to carry. Why would we be allowed to carry that Rishus Rabbim? Because you'll have a Tzuras HaPesach in the back. That closes off the third wall. And you have a Lechi Okair in the front, which becomes a regular case of a Mavi Sosum, the first Mishnah of the Masechta, that you could carry from such a Mavi. You could carry in such a Mavi. You can't carry from the Mavi to Rishus Rabbim, but you could carry in such a Mavi.